Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the Valeura Holding AG Full Year Results 2016 conference call and live webcast. I'm Sarah, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Michael Müller, CEO, and Mr. Tobias Knäppler, CFO of Valeura Holding AG. You will now be joined into the conference room.
Welcome to the annual report from Valeura. It's my last time today. I'm very happy with Anais and a little bit sad with the other one, but I think it's a good moment to give to young people to grow for the grow and the what will come in the future. I hope you will enjoy the day, and I give now the word to Michael, our CEO. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to present this year's result, 2016 figures this morning. Thank you very much for all attending here in the room. We also have other guests on the phone. In parallel, we have our conference call with the investors dialing in and listening in. That's why we have also the presentation in English. The Q&A will be in English as well, but you're free to ask questions in German if you prefer to do so, and we will answer probably in parallel English and German. Again, welcome. Thank you very much for being here with us this morning. I only will give you a brief introduction of the highlights in our view of 2016, and then I will hand over to Tobias, our CFO, who will talk you through the details of the results. Key highlights 2016. First of all, financials. We delivered on the promises. We deliver a strong set of figures. We achieved all the goals that we set internally and communicated to you, and we also made some very good progress in terms of achieving the goals of the midterm guidance. In terms of structure, I'm very glad that we completed the transformation, a transformation that we started four years ago with the aim to focus the group on our convenience and food service business. We completed that transformation ultimately last year with the sale of the Naville Distribution activities in Geneva and ultimately also with the La Praille building, so the piece of real estate that we acquired through the acquisition of the Naville Group. Also, Naville, as an organization, has been successfully integrated in our retail activities here in Switzerland. From a reorganizational integration point of view, we completed that transaction also successfully and ultimately with that, the focusing process, the strategy to focus the group on the core activities in convenience and food services is completed. In terms of our main activities, retail and food service on the retail side, main highlights, as I mentioned, the successful ultimate restructuring of our Swiss business and the integration of Naville has a very favorable impact on our financials and yielded very positive results, ultimately in a steep increase, as you see later, of our EBIT margin in the Swiss retail business. We also successfully rolled out more than 700 POS, excuse me, more than 700 POS successfully our new coffee modules. With that, we are now the number one in the coffee market in Switzerland. There is no other competitor selling more coffee at more POS than we do in Switzerland. We also had a quite strong same-store sales development in Germany, which Tobias will talk you through the details later, and which came in parallel also in an optimization of the network, of the POS network, that we improved the quality of the network and strengthened ultimately also the organization in Germany quite dramatically. You can remind yourself, only 2 years ago, we were communicating that we're still struggling in Germany to integrate the bits and pieces. So also that, in our view, a very successful step ahead in the development of the retail business, that today, ultimately, we build a very solid basis for growth in Germany and a very capable organization to deliver that. On the food service side, I would like to start actually with the highlights that we delivered earlier this year, ultimately with the acquisition of Brezel Baron. So we add to the Brezel King now a Baron. We have now acquired a small operation in the U.S., a small production operation in the U.S., but at the same time, in our view, the leading Brezel operations that you find in the U.S., with the technology production, the technology that is in many parts quite comparable to what we do in Germany, and which offers us now a very solid and good platform to build our U.S. Brezel operations well beyond the current status. You're all aware that we already sell Brezels in the U.S. Out of our German factory, but now with the Brezel Baron operations, we have now built a platform on-site or on-ground in the U.S. that will help us to develop that business much faster and we think also much more profitable. In terms of the same store on the retail side, on the same store sales development, we have specifically seen here in Switzerland with Brezel König a very strong development. So even in a quite challenging environment also for the food service business in Switzerland, we managed to improve on the same footprint, so on the same store basis, our sales quite substantially. You will see details later in the presentation that Tobias will give you. And also in Germany, we are very satisfied with the development of the Ditch retail format. And last but not least, we started the Brezel König International Initiative roughly 2 years ago. We opened up the first stores in Austria and France, and we also improved there to a level the operations now that we are ready to start franchising these businesses. We are currently in discussions with potential franchise partners. We have not signed any international deals on Brezel König International so far, but we are very much comfortable with the progress we make on that initiative as well. That should then, in the long term, add also quite some value and growth to the company. With that, I would like to hand over to Tobias, who will talk you through the financials, and I will come back later to give you a quick overview on the strategic initiative.
Thank you, Michael. One of the investors in the room was complaining that we always do the annual results presentation when it's snowing. That is true. It shows our direct link to Petrus. The second reason is we're always publishing earlier. We were publishing sometimes in April 3 years ago. We're now end of February, and we'll continue to do early in order to focus the organization not on the past but on the future. So apologies if it's snowing. I can't avoid it as well for the future, and snow is good for our coffee sales. That's why we have coffee beans on almost all the pages. It's one of our main topics. I won't read through these key figures on page 4. But these are really the key metrics we're focusing on, be it ROCE, be it the EBIT margin, the GP margin. That's all the elements you find again on our midterm and short-term guidances. And I'll read through all that on the coming pages. But what can already be seen from here, we made substantial progress actually on all financial, and as Michael will explain later on as well on all strategic dimensions. I will now start with our most important metrics. That's the ROCE, the return on capital employed. And at the end of the financial part, prior to going to the guidance, I will stop with the free cash flow, which is a bit the cornerstones of our way we look at financials within Valora. ROCE, return on capital employed. A short recap, how are we calculating it? It's the average capital employed over the last 13 months compared to the EBIT over the last 12 months or last year's EBIT. What you can see from the left-hand side is we started with 6.1 last year, which was already a big improvement compared to the year before, and we added 2.1 percentage point to reach 8.2% in 2016. I'm personally very satisfied with that because early 2015, we told you we plan to achieve 8% in 2016. And as I wasn't really sure whether we'll manage that, we added really at the last minute after intense discussion with Michael at the earliest, or 2017. And I'm very glad that without any fudging or accounting tricks, we managed to achieve 8% and therefore really create value. You could argue whether at 6% we were adding value, but definitely as of 8, and we won't stop here, we're creating value for the company and for our shareholders. That growth has been supported by all levels, actually. If you look, first of all, on retail on the right-hand side, you see an increase by 50% of our return on capital employed from 10.3% to 15.4%, supported by both divisions, Switzerland and retail on the other side. Retail Switzerland increased by almost 6 percentage points to 17.5%. That is very good. And it's even very good if you deduct mentally that there's no cash included. Cash, as it's always a bit difficult, how do you allocate it, what is needed for the business, is only allocated on the group level. So you need to discount a bit, but nevertheless, the improvement from one year to the other is quite impressive. What is even more so, that has come not from a reduction overall in the group from the capital employed, but really is a reflection of the EBIT improvement we've shown over the past year. Retail Germany as well increased by 4% to 11.5%, a good increase. We said so with the cleanup last year. We really grew from that level, as we'll see on the net revenue. It's a big reflection of that already in the EBIT results, and the reflection of all that is then the ROCE increase that we're having here. Food service has a small increase to almost 7%. That is supported by all areas in the division. Without the goodwill, we are at 18%. And there, mind you, there's a small correction. We're at 17.5 in the printed version you have in front of you. The correct figure is 18.2% without goodwill, as it's stated here. So good progress. We are planning to further improve that. We'll see that with the guidance. So we give you the commitment that if we achieve our targets for this year, ROCE will continue to increase. Now, starting with the actual P&L, from the top to the bottom, as usual, with the net revenues, we are at almost 2.1 billion revenues. That is a minor increase of 1% year on year. External sales of the company are at almost 2.6 billion, and I think that is a very respective figure that puts all of us well on the map of the European retailers. If we run through the details, And I'll start directly with the country-level details. Switzerland has a reduction of 1.4% year-on-year. That is due to two factors. The first one being the same-store index, which was in decrease by 2%. And that is definitely also looking forward one of our big challenges still in the company. A decrease by 2%. And on the other hand, it's a reduction by 39 POS in Switzerland. Both factors combined leading to the 1.4% reduction at 1.3 billion Swiss francs. Germany has an increase of 7.5% in local currency, 5.4%. So a quite significant increase. Two factors again here. One is same store, which increased by 2% year on year, driven by both Luxembourg and Germany, and especially growing, as we'll maybe talk on in one of the coming pages, driven by categories which add a higher gross profit, a lot of food, notably, but as well then categories that we're now pushing more, like the tobacco sale. On the other side, we're also having more own POS. So as we're cleaning up the network, and I'll show that in a minute, we're taking more POS in our own ruling. So we staff them ourselves prior to handing them over. And at the same time, we've been cleaning up the network. So we've been reducing the number of POS, and we still see that increase that we're having here. On the food service side, we have growth on all categories, being ditch, retail, or B2B. We're having increase as well, Food Service Switzerland, and within Food Service Switzerland, again, on Brezelkönig, Spettacolo, and Brezelkönig International. Ditch has an increase of 2% in local currencies that come from, 2.7% on the B2C side and 1.6% on the B2B side. And that after the phenomenal growth we had on the past years. We'll see that actually we've been holding back a bit the growth on the B2B side in order to work on the margin. That will be very evident in two pages from here. Very pleasing with us has been the growth of Food Service Switzerland. We have been pushing the revenues of the country by 12.2% in Swiss francs. That is mostly driven by Brezelkönig International. We expanded the network by 24%, and we had same-store growth of 3.5%. I think we've written here 3.1%. Which considering the tough time we had on Brezelkönig last year with the reduction of the Swiss franc, et cetera, was very pleasing to us. We've made very good progress. So it's really Brezelkönig International that has been pushing Food Service Switzerland, but as well Café Spettacolo, which for the first year is shown on the food service, both in 16 and 15 contributed very positively. The network is at 2,500 POS, relatively stable compared to last year. I won't go through all the details, but I think the key takeaways here is in Switzerland, as already said, a reduction by 39 POS. It's not totally over yet. We'll probably still will clean up the network, but the large steps in terms of cleanups at this stage are done in our eyes. In Germany, we also had a reduction by 3%. And here maybe it's worth to have a bit smaller look at the details. If you look, we had on the partner side a reduction by 65%. And that is what we said last year. That is a segment which is more wholesale driven, where we get kickbacks from the volumes. That is not the business we want to be in. So we had a very big push this year to either convert these partner POS into franchise or to give them up if we come at the end to the end of the lease. So I think we've made good progress here to clean up the network, even though that meant that during 2016 we had to reduce the number of POS. Food service, a growth by 6%, as already mentioned, driven by the growth on the Brezelkönig side. 62%, that's an important figure, of our POS are operated as agencies and franchise. And here as well, you can see in the details the development. Gross profit has increased to 870 million. That is an increase of almost 3% compared to last year, where we stood at 845 million. We gave out the guidance last year that midterm we want to be between 1 and 3% growth on the GP level, focusing on the GP side. This year, we were at the higher end with the 2.9%, and even in local currency with the 2.2%, I think we're very well set and have shown that actually we are able to grow the company. We want to grow the company. We do not only want to optimize it, but to grow it. And I think in 2016, we managed to show that. Not only has the gross profit increased, but the margin, which is the second relevant part of our midterm guidance, improved in the direction we wanted to. We are now standing at 41.5. And even if I deduct Naville Distribution, which is deconsolidating, and therefore if I rather look at our starting base, we still stand at 41.2%. And in both cases, we have an improvement of 0.8 percentage point compared to last year. And that shows that here as well, I think we're making good progress towards our midterm goal of 42%. Quickly going through the details, Retail Switzerland is stable at 474 million. After the decline I've shown on the previous page, it shows that we're improving the mix, that we're stabilizing, that we're getting better purchasing power. So what we said with the acquisition of Naville, that we'll work on the purchasing, we'll work on the promotion, and we'll work on the mix, I think, has been delivered here. And again, Switzerland being exactly in the guidance that we set for the midterm. Germany, Luxembourg, retail side, a growth of 7%. There we grew stronger than what we expected on the GP side, again driven by the very strong top line development, and on the other side, same factors, less cleanup costs, of course, better control of theft, etc., and the improvement of the mix, so better categories and better promotions. The food service side, compared to the growth we've seen before in local currency, an improvement by 6.6% to just shy of 200 million. That's an optimization of the B2B side. I said we concentrated not on growing the top line, but on improving the mix of our products on the B2B side. And a very strong reflection of that is the growth on the B2B side. We did that, first of all, because we want to be on the high-level margin, and on the other side as well, because we were coming to capacity constraints, which we resolved by the installation of the new production line that is being done right now and by the Brezel Baron acquisition in the U.S. So all in all, Valora Group with a improvement of the gross profit margin by 3% to 870 million. Without going into detail on that side, we're showing for the retail division split between Switzerland and Germany how the classical categories compare to the new categories. And we're seeing that, as already explained on the previous year, we have different starting base spaces in both countries. In Switzerland, by now, we are at 50% with the classical categories, tobacco, press and lottery. We for the first time split out lottery as well, because lottery has been a lot in the press. So we said the games of chance will show separately here to give you a better idea as well. So 50% with that, and 50% then with food, beverages, services, and as well franchise income. Retail Germany is a different animal. Here we have 64% with the classical categories. But remind you, the situation is different. press is declining at a rate which is much slower or flatter than in Switzerland. We're gaining market share. We also have a much higher margin on the press side than in Switzerland. And on the other side, on the tobacco side, we really are growing our same-store growth as we're gaining market share from our competitors. And therefore, even though the classical categories are higher on Germany, actually these are, and especially the tobacco side, is a driver of our growth in the past year. From GP, moving on to the operating cost, we have a moderate cost increase by 1%. That increase is fully attributable to variable cost. So we have not grown the head office, the overhead, etc. On the contrary, we're seeing the benefits of the integration of Naville on all levels in the figures of corporate and of Switzerland. But we have invested in production, which is really then the variable cost going up, and on the other side as well, on the POS side, with the expansion and the cleanup of the networks, especially in food services and in Germany. The other point that also affected the cost here are slightly higher factor costs, especially on the food service side with the agencies, where after the introduction of the minimum wage last year, we adjusted various parameters, internal and agency fees, which then all contributed to that. But as you can see, the cost ratio actually improved for all the retail side markedly, for Switzerland by 0.4 percentage point, all retail as well by 0.4 percentage point. And on the group, we maintained the level of last year. So despite these variable cost increases and some factor cost increases, we maintained the level while pushing up the GP side. Summing it all up on that side on the P&L, we come to the EBIT, which is above the higher end of the guidance, which we hinted at in the summer, just slightly above at 72.3 million. That is a 31% increase compared to last year, which also was an increase, significant increase compared to the previous year. So satisfactory result here. We have increases from all the divisions. We have let me first mention something else, coming back. So that's a 31% increase. The margin is the second point, of course, I'd like to mention. As in the GP, where we had the goal of 42%, here we set the midterm goal of 4%, which has been seen as ambitious by most analysts and journalists and generally in the press. But I think with these results, improving the margin by 0.8 percentage point to 3.4%, we made a very good first step into the direction of the midterm goal of 4%. And we'd like actually today to reiterate our goal to achieve this 4% in the midterm. Now, coming back to where I stopped before, going through the division shortly, we have 60 million coming from retail, 40 million from Switzerland. Naville Distribution, which was deconsolidated end of August, contributed 3.8 million. Germany, 16 million. And all of these, if you look on the right-hand side, have an EBIT margin increase between 0.8 and 0.9 percentage points to all of them above 3%. That is still, of course, a level where you're vulnerable, but I think we're very far away from the 1.something% that we were at a couple of years ago. On the food service side, we have a slight increase to 26, 27 million, stable EBIT margin at 10.4%. P&L doesn't stop at EBIT. Moving down the P&L to the net profit, we, of course, first have the financing activities. For complaints on that figures, we also have our treasury here in the room. We improved here the result by 2 million to 15 million. Last year was impacted by the FX loss rate when the Swiss National Bank released from 120 the Swiss franc to free float, more or less. This year, we also had a one-off effect when we refinanced the variable portion of the Schuldschein Darlehen with the realization of the interest rate swap. We had one-time cost of roughly 3 million. So both figures actually more or less equalized themselves and should not happen again in 17. So a further improvement is planned here. And despite that, we have a 2 million improvement under that line. Therefore, earnings before taxes, a 50% increase to 57 million. Income taxes, again, a income from taxes, not as big as last year. We had current income taxes of 2 million, and we had deferred taxes, which overcompensated that, so that we have a deferred income, income tax profit from 5 million, leading to a net profit from continuing operation of 62 million. Last year, we of course had the impairment and the deconsolidation of the trade division with a negative 75 million. This year, a slight profit from discontinued operation of 1 million. And as a result, the group net result improving by 90 million to 63 million. That equals an EPS of 17.5 at group level compared to the dividend, as we'll see in a minute, of 12.5. So I think a very safe level of EPS compared to the dividend that allows us to further deleverage as well and give more flexibility to the business. The balance sheet has been affected mostly by the deconsolidation of Naville Distribution, which led to a shortening of the balance sheet. And with that as well, we strengthen all balance sheet ratios. I do not want to go into detail. Simply the figures I would like to pick out are the equity ratio, which improved to 45.5%, and the leverage ratio, which now stands at 1.6 times EBITDA. If we include the hybrid, which will refinance or repay next year, we stand at 2.5. And we always said that somewhere in the corridor between 2 and 2.5 times leverage ratio, we are comfortable. I think that's exactly where we are. So the acquisition of Deutsche Plätzl-König and the acquisition of Naville in 2015, I think are well digested, and we are again on a level where we show enough flexibility on the balance sheet. We for the first time also wanted to shed some light on the lease agreement. I mean, that is not a secret. If you look carefully through the balance, through the annual report, you find most of these figures. But I thought, triggered by the upcoming IFRS 16, the lease agreement, that it's worth showing that figure specifically as well here on with that audience. We have 725 million lease commitments with the maturities you see on the right-hand side. We increased these lease commitments by 4% over last year. That is a good sign, as we mostly increased the commitments over 5 years. So we secured our portfolio. And actually, these average length of 5 years, which is mentioned here, is underestimated for two reasons. First of all, our option rights, unilateral option rights to extend the leases is not shown. And the second one is that all perpetual leases, which can be resiliated after 1 year, on both sides, of course, is shown as within 1 year. And most of these, if you actually look at our POS, where we're in these locations for many, many years, some as long as 25 years. So overall, with that 5 years, and taking, keeping in mind these two points I mentioned, I think we've shown that we are very well assured on the midterm as far as our revenues are concerned. Not shown here, but which you also find in the annual report, is the lease commitments from our franchisees and agencies, which are counterbalancing factors on our commitment side. A second figure, which we don't find in the annual report, but which we wanted to highlight here, is that roughly two-thirds of our leases are with top five, with five landlords. That's, of course, the German and the Swiss Federal Railways, and then another three very important landlords with which we have very good and long-standing relationship. And it shows as well that we concentrated on highly attractive locations, mostly in Germany and Switzerland. Moving on to the financial structure. Not many news today. I think we announced it with the press release when we refinanced the variable part of the Schuldscheindarlehen, where we stand. I think we've been well diversified over the maturities, with the first bulk being mature in 2018, the rest extending until 2021. So well diversified with the maturities, and pretty well diversified as well in terms of instrument and therefore investor base. Not fully used, on the contrary. The syndicated loan of 200 million for general purposes, including M&A, is totally unused, which means that as well could happen whatever we want with the cash that we're having, plus the unused CFA of 160 million and 40 million. With that, we'd be fully able, without any refinancing almost, to refinance all the debt that is coming up for renewal in 2018. And in the absolute worst case, you never know what happened, the hybrid is a perpetual, so we only would have a step-up. We're not planning to have that step-up, but that shows that actually, on the side of the financing, we're very well assured as well for the midterm. CapEx side, we are planning to grow. One of the levers to grow is, of course, the CapEx side. Here as well, we gave for the first time a guidance last year where we said we plan to invest between 50 million and 60 million over the cycle on one side, and on the other side, we want to invest at least 50% in innovation and expansion. We held that promise as well last year. We had 52% in innovation expansion. We were, though, a bit shy on the level of CapEx spend, just below the 50 million with 49. We, of course, want to invest. We're not milking the business. We are investing, but we are very selective when it comes to the box economics, the return on the capital, on the capital invested. And therefore, we'd rather forgive certain opportunities, be it on the M&A side, but as well on POS side or the investment, if the return that we deem adequate is not there. However, as you see, we maintain the level of maintenance at a good level, and we're investing in the future of the business. Already taking ahead a bit what I'll say in a couple of slides on the guidance, we plan to have higher CapEx in the coming years, still holding that cycle, but having been shy of the 50 million now over a couple of years, with the acquisition of Pretzel Baron, where we plan to invest, with the investment on line two in Oranienbaum on the production, plus what we promised to you in terms of expansion in POS, notably in Germany. We hope, and that's really a hope, that we'll be able to spend more than that and getting closer to the 60 million or even above that in the coming couple of years. Free cash flow, as said, I started with ROCE. I'll end that section with the free cash flow. We had a solid cash flow of 72.6 million. Again, compared to the EBIT of 72 million, it shows as well that the business is really cash generative. It is, though, shy of last year by 10 million, where we stood at 82 million. That is really coming from one single line, while all the other one actually shown improvement, be it the EBIT, be it contribution from CapEx, from the investing activities. And that line, which has shown a reversal this year, is the net working capital. Again, should not be a surprise. We said last year that we had a one-time effect last year through the dates of the end of the year where we simply had payments falling to the next year because of a couple of days. That's exactly the effect that you see reversed. That was roughly 10 million, I said. So we had last year an improvement of 20 million, of which roughly 10 million were due to dates. Exactly these 10 million dates you see in 2017, so a reversal of these 10 million. And on top of that, an improvement of the other metrics. Therefore, the overall impact, negative impact from net working capital only stands at 6.5 million. The mix of these factors then again leads to the 72.6 million free cash flow before M&A for 2016. And I think with that, ROCE in growth, stable cash flow, shown the EBIT increase, getting better to the margin, we made good steps towards the guidance. And that's the slide with which I would like to close. You should all know the right-hand side of that page, which is the medium-term guidance. Exactly what we've shown last year, we maintain it. We reiterate that we plan to achieve this growth, 1 to 3% gross profit growth per year, split by these various categories, Switzerland, Germany, food service, with the percentages you see there. And I think all of these are achievable and are feasible for the coming years. The one which is definitely the most challenging, as already hinted at, is Switzerland. But as we have as well shown, I think we can, in case that would be shy there, we could compensate that by being at the upper end on the other ones. So 1 to 2-3% growth on the GP side on an annual basis, an improvement of the gross profit margin to 42% earliest by 2018. And on the EBIT side, 4% EBIT margin again, earliest 2018. We discussed at length internally whether that's sufficient or whether we should give you a bit more guidance in order to narrow the expectation. You see the result. We said yes, again, like usual, we'll give as well an EBIT guidance, which looks reasonable. Starting again with 2016, take our Naville distribution in order to have the starting point compared to what we set. Deconsolidating Naville distribution takes out 4 million, leading us to the 68.5 million. From that, we plan to have a 15% increase, which leads us to the 79 million, plus minus 3 million in order to be to still have some flexibility. With these, we also plan to further improve ROCE. ROCE should improve anyway with the sale of the building that was announced in February, also as announced. But even with that, so taking care of the capital side, improving the EBIT, you see, should see a notable increase on the ROCE side. And I think with that, I said all relevant parts, and I would like to hand over again to Michael. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Tobias. Okay. Thank you. So I would like to give you now an update on our strategic initiatives. First of all, I hope you share our view that with delivering the 2016 numbers, we build now a very solid basis for further development and further growth of the business, and that's exactly at the heart of the strategy going forward. We define our strategy along four pillars. It starts with the growth that we see in the existing countries, growth that we see in the existing POS. We still have the opportunity to add to the current business with changing assortments, improving category mix in the existing shops that we operate in Switzerland and Germany. But we see also beyond that opportunities to grow with existing formats, specifically in Germany, and obviously with our food service formats internationally, and ultimately with our production activities on the pretzel side now, also in the U.S. Secondly, the efficiency pillar, that was probably the most important pillar in the past, besides growing the business through the acquisitions, starting obviously with Pretzel König Dietsch, but then moving on to Naville. Efficiency improvement, that was at the heart, and I think Tobias alluded on the details very well, that we managed to ultimately improve margin through efficiency improvements and through the improvement of the mix of the business. We will continue to focus on ROCE as one of our key metrics and the cash generation in the business. So we are very disciplined in the way we invest our free cash also going forward. Innovation, that's an initiative we started ultimately 2 years ago on the digital side with the establishing of the Valora Lab, but also on the concept, what we call concept development, so the development of existing and new formats. you have seen that we opened new stores, for example, in Germany in the convenience space under the umbrella of AVEC, which are very different from what we have operated as convenience stores in Germany in the past, and we will continue to do so also here in Switzerland and invest heavily in the development of new formats and the improvement of the existing formats. And the fourth pillar, that's a pillar that's very important to me. We changed dramatically the structure of our business. We changed dramatically the organization in our businesses. We created a much more agile organization. We reduced hierarchy levels. And by that, we influenced also very much the culture in how we operate our business and how we operate and manage our staff. This initiative is the youngest initiative. We started to do that in a structured way last year, beginning of last year. We went through multiple activities with the involvement, basically all of our employees from the shop level up to the management level, and we will continue to work here with our staff, because to me it's a very important element of delivering along the three other pillars, growth, efficiency, and innovation, that we build the right culture in the company, an entrepreneurial culture to deliver along these dimensions. Last year, we have given you quite some detail in terms of tangible initiatives. I will come to that in a second. For 2017, the top 10 initiatives for the group structured along the four pillars are on the growth side, defending and expanding on our market leadership. We are the market leader in convenience and food services in Germany and Switzerland. We want to defend that. We want to expand on that basis. Secondly, the U.S. expansion. I mentioned in my introduction, we acquired the Pretzel Baron. That's only the start of a hopefully long and successful journey in the U.S. to now, in the first step, integrate that business and then grow the Pretzel Baron activities, production activities in the U.S. And by doing that, expanding our footprint in that highly attractive bakery product market. Food and beverages continues to be a key initiative. You have seen that the food and beverage category in retail Switzerland is already the biggest category. So we sell more food and beverages than tobacco, print, lottery, the traditional categories. But we see still a lot more potential ahead of us. The highly successful introduction of our coffee modules last year has proven that there is room to grow our activities. And every day we become a little bit more sophisticated and better in also leveraging the food expertise we have in the food service business on the Breitsburg Koenig Pitch side, and also introducing these products that we manufacture ourselves in our stores. Fourth, Breitsburg Koenig International. Quite clearly, we started the journey 2 years ago. Now we are ready to fully leverage the potential of that business. We still operate own stores in Austria and France. It's now the time to sign agreements with franchise partners. We haven't done so yet. We're still in the discussions with interested parties, but I'm very comfortable that this initiative will contribute to the growth going forward. Bob Finance, our fifth growth initiative. You're aware that also that initiative, we started roughly 18 months, started to being operational. Bob Finance, our consumer credit business, a purely digital, consumer credit business. We built a successful platform. We're successful also in the sense that already today we operated on a lifetime value positive basis, meaning that what we expect that the current loan portfolio will contribute in terms of income is exceeding the costs we have for the platform. So over time, it is creating value. Obviously, today it has a negative contribution on the EBIT level. But going forward, we see a lot of potential for the business. We are very pleased with the progress we made, specifically in the light that it's only 18 months startup, and also from the potential partners we start to talk in terms of distribution and leverage that platform, we get very positive feedback. But this remains a top initiative also in terms of the contribution, obviously, to the EBIT. We started that initiative not to realize a negative, but obviously a positive impact, and there's still some time ahead of us to realize that, but we are absolutely convinced that we get there. On the innovation side, which should also fuel the growth of our business, one of the core initiatives is retail analytics. That's an area we also started to work on last year. Big data is a big topic in retail in general. We have a lot of data. We have a lot of transactions every day, more than a million transactions every day. So we have, from a data point of view, the basis of using that data to becoming smarter in terms of how we should operate the business, what kind of products are at what time of the day doing really well in which store formats. We started to do that, and we also started to add additional new data that we can generate now. You have seen, we've been in the press with one of the initiatives that we started to use also analytic tool in the stores. We will continue to do that, and we will always do that to basically improve the customer experience. It's important for us to understand our customers and to deliver exactly what customers expect, and we have to use and will use also new technologies to do that. It will also enhance our promotional and loyalty initiatives. Promotion, a very important part of our business, given the high footfall we have in our store. The next initiative, loyalty, is exactly linked to the retail analytics and promotion element. You're aware we had multiple loyalty initiatives, some of them still paper-based, and roughly 2 years ago we started, launched the initiative of the Spectacolo app. We introduced that 18 months ago, and now we will launch the K-Kiosk app. We always promised that. It took us basically all 2016 to complete that now. And for the first time, we will have for the full K-Kiosk network, we will have a new app, a digital-based app that we can use for couponing, other loyalty improvement activities, and also for communicating with our customer. Also that, a very important part, I think a very obvious part, also how you improve the business. loyalty and improvement of loyalty is a key initiative, hopefully with every retailer, and we invested quite some time, energy, and money now in 2016 to improve also our business on that dimension. And thirdly, I mentioned concept development. That is a continuous process. Internally, we call it Develop Future Store 2020. So 2020 is kind of a magic year for us, magic in a sense that we have a three-year planning horizon. So 19 is the last year we plan. So 20 will be then the first year after that three-year horizon. And it's also a realistic horizon to substantially also improve the full network. Remind yourself, we have more than 2,500 POS that we operate across the network, opening a couple of new stores. We will do that every year. But to change 2,500 stores and initiatives like we have implemented last year on the coffee side, where we change basically 800 stores and introduce coffee, that's quite a significant effort. So 2020 is a realistic time horizon for further full scale across the full network development of new store concepts and pretty radically new store concept, not what we have done over the last 1 to 2 years, but rather comparable to what we have done. Remember the initiative called Gonzales, where we pretty much changed the full kiosk network here in Switzerland. This was also a three-year initiative. It took us 3 years to implement that initiative and to get to the level we are today. As part of this concept development, we also will improve and introduce new services. The PUDO, pick-up, drop-off services we discussed in previous presentations. We will improve our fresh product capability. Fresh products require a very fresh supply chain. We have a very fresh supply chain on the Bretzelkönig side. We will use that increasingly on the other convenience kiosk formats. And we also already made last year quite some progress on fresh product and the share of fresh products in specifically the AVEC network here in Switzerland. Efficiency, this will always remain a core initiative. Main focus this year will be the Valora platform, what we call Valora platform. When we started 4 years ago, it was a highly fragmented network of systems that we operated across the group. We continued now to invest in building a platform across all businesses, across all geographies, for example, with the introduction of SAP and all the group functions and all the geographies. This will help us to further improve efficiency and the supporting function across the group and ultimately will lead to further cost reductions. And then I mentioned the importance of a performance-oriented culture. The organization has to deliver still on multiple dimensions. It's 9 other core initiatives for 1 year on a group level. You can imagine each of these initiatives breaks down in a lot more initiatives in every business unit, and we have to build our success ultimately on the foundation of a successful team, on a motivated entrepreneurial team, and we will invest in that team in terms of the personal development, the ultimate improvement, the quality, and the strength of that. The review of the top initiatives 2016, I mentioned earlier, we have given a lot of detail last year at our investor days. We talked you through to all these initiatives in as we see in a very tangible and detailed manner. On the food side, we guided the coffee modules. You see on the right-hand side in the green boxes what we delivered or how we delivered against these promises. And as you can see on the coffee module, on the ditch expansion of the production and the OK Energy drink introduction in Germany, We are very pleased with the progress we made, and on all dimensions of the food initiatives, we basically hit the targets that we set ourselves. In terms of the network, the Bretzelkönig International 100 POS target, this was not a 2016 target, to make that clear. This was a midterm target that we set. Therefore, we're currently at 6 POS, but not nervous about the fact that we only have 6 POS, but we invested again in building the foundation. But now, quite clearly, we have to accelerate the growth here. That's why we're still are very pleased with the progress we made, but now we have to deliver against that 100 POS, but are convinced that we will be able to do so in the coming years. Retail Germany, I think we gave you quite some detail on the net store development. Tobias talked you through the details, and I think you have seen that on both dimensions, growth, but also same store development, which is very important to us, we performed very well in Germany, taking share from other retailers in our traditional core categories. Ditch Bretzelkönig, same thing. I think you have seen the impressive growth both on same store, but also new store openings from Bretzelkönig in Switzerland, 24% increase on the same store on the stores, 12% growth in that business. These are very promising and pleasing numbers to us, and ultimately the result of a quite a significant effort starting in 15 to accelerate growth, improving the existing business here in Switzerland in the food service activities. And then Navi Store rebranding and integration. I mentioned integration of Navi is completed. We also almost completed the rebranding. We're not quite through yet. We're in the process 2017 to complete that, but we make very good progress. And the best part to us is the feedback, both from our staff, but more importantly from the customer, in the western part of Switzerland has been very positive. So K-Kiosk and Avec as a brand has been very well received by the customer in the western part. And therefore, we continued with that rebranding effort. Services, we promised a loyalty app in all formats. In 2018, we have Spectaculo. I just mentioned K-Kiosk that we will launch in the coming weeks. So there are two more years to go to cover all the other formats. As I said, we're pleased making progress here. Development of profitable consumer finance business, positive lifetime value for 2016 for Pulp Finance. That's the target we achieved. That was an ambitious target given the fact that it's a startup that only started 18 months ago. But we delivered that, and on the organizations, we guided the efficiency program 15 to 20 million. We made substantial progress. I think you see that in the margin development across all the businesses, and enhanced sourcing promotions and category management initiative. Again, Navil contributed here very much, the acquisition of Navil, that we increased our store network, that we cover now all of Switzerland, and that we basically are in an even stronger position in terms of negotiation power if it comes to promotional activities and the sourcing of our key products. Bretzel Baron acquisition, one slide on that, very short, I said it already, very important, very big step for us, entering the U.S. now, having our feet on the ground. But remind yourself, the U.S. is not new to us. We have a substantial Bretzel business already in the U.S., with the Bretzels delivered out of our factory in Oranienbaum. Now we have the platform ready to leverage our existing business and continue and accelerate the growth in that highly attractive market. The U.S. is one of the top Bretzel markets in the world and developed extremely strongly also for us over the last couple of years. I'm very pleased also that in that situation, Gary Gottenbusch, the founder of Brexel Barons, remains with the business. Gary not necessarily was looking for a buyer for his business, so he was very confident that he can develop his business on his own. He's part of a larger family, the Savatthi family, who is a very well-known, very established, very successful family in the bakery business in the U.S. We convinced Gary that we can join the forces or that we should join the forces, and I'm extremely pleased that Gary now stays on and helps us to develop the market he knows best and that he started to enter so successfully with Brexel Barons. As part of this U.S. expansion initiative, we already guided last November our development pipeline on the production side, production being a business that contributed very strongly over the last couple of years to our business. Now we guided a little bit more detail. We mentioned already the expansion of the Oranienbaum facility, the production capacity in that facility. Obviously, we will now invest in the U.S. facilities at Brexel Barons in Cincinnati. And we even beyond that consider already a further expansion of the building and production capacities in Oranienbaum. So there is quite some growth on one hand in the market ahead of us, where we're very comfortable. But at the same time, we see also opportunity to ultimately invest in the business. And that's why Tobias said earlier, we guided that range of 50 to 60. We are this year at 49. So we will invest now in that business, which will slightly increase the CapEx in the years ahead of us. In terms of wrap-up, key investment highlights. Today was a very good day for us. We are very proud to present you, in our view, very strong set of numbers. We are very pleased that we delivered on our promises that we made already 4 years ago. We hit all the numbers and the targets pretty well across all the dimensions. We have a very clear strategic positioning now. We're the market leader in our two main markets, Switzerland and Germany. We have a very strong position now in the food service business in these two markets, but also beyond. We have a very strong network of expertise, partners, also in countries beyond these two core markets, Switzerland and Germany. And I'm very convinced that this will help us to grow our business also beyond the existing borders. At the same time, you're all aware that specifically in Switzerland, the retail environment was extremely challenging over the last 2 years. And I think what we delivered in Switzerland specifically in terms of growth, but also in terms of margin improvement, shows how resilient ultimately our business model is in a challenging market environment, how resilient the strategic positioning is we have at these high-frequency locations, and ultimately also shows that we know and learned how to operate a retail business in a challenging environment successfully. Thirdly, the tangible initiatives. We still stick to the initiatives, the midterm initiatives that we presented at the Investor Days last year. We added the 10 initiatives for 17. In our view, very tangible, very clear, and we're very committed and comfortable that we will also continue to deliver against these targets. We will do that with a very strong, motivated team. We will improve our culture. We want to create a winning culture in our company. And last but not least, on the team dimension, it's also for me personally, for the management team, a very pleasing to see that we have now with the new chairman, incoming chairman that we announced already earlier, Franz Jühlen, that stands for election at our AGM in 4 weeks' time. We have now a new incoming chairman with a, first of all, deep and broad experience in the retail space, but beyond that also a lot of experience how to grow a business internationally, and I'm very convinced that Franz will contribute to our growth strategy based on that experience very successfully. And with that, I would like to hand over to Rolando.
Thank you very much. Okay, I hope we said everything, ladies and gentlemen. I think this page is very important to do a little introducing. We have attractive financials, we have a clear strategic position, we have a tangible initiative that we have in plan, and we have a motivated team, especially a young top leader team that we built in the last year. And I think it's the moment to give to a strong new chairman, Franz Jühlen. You know that Franz is Intersport CEO for 14 years. He's doing 15 billion turnover. He grow in 100+ country. And I think with this young top leadership that we have in Valora, we can, without problem, go a little bit, do something also. And we will ask to the annual general meeting. First, the date is the 30th of March, very early. Dividend is 12.50 per share that you have seen in the booklet. We're driving for Valora board once more. There are 9 years. I was very happy in the company. I like it very much. We have done with the team a very good job, and I think it's the right moment to step down. All the other board members are standing for re-election. We will ask to elect Franz Jühlen as chairman. New election in new board, Michael Klinger. You have the description of Mr. Klinger in your paper. He is today CEO and chairman for Mytheresa, one of the successful internet company, has a lot of understanding about internet and how we can do the clicks and mortar better, how we can be successful with Valora in this part of the business. Markus Wirter is foreseen as president of nomination and committee and compensation committee. And with that, I think we go now. Here you have everything. Yeah? You can have. We go to the Q&A. Thank you very much. And I ask Michael and Tobias to come here to answer to your question. Thank you very much.
I think you have to use the microphone so that our guests on the phone can hear the question as well.
Okay. Christian Weitz, Baader Bank. I start with a question with regards to the Swiss retail business. I mean, we realize and know that the retail environment in Switzerland is very tough. You like-for-like went down something like 2.5%. How do you intend to tackle this, and how do you intend to hopefully turn this trend positive? That's the first question. Second question, with regards to Bob Finance, you say that you have a positive lifetime value there, which is definitely a positive. Yes, but your EBIT, if I got it right, EBIT negative. Can you add a number to this, and can you let us know when you intend to have a positive contribution on an EBIT level? And the third question, with regards to your CapEx, you had a CapEx of 49 million in 2016. Can you give us the number that you plan for 2017? And hopefully a trend, and also the idea where and how you want to invest in 2017 and going forward.
Sure.
Thank you very much. So maybe starting with retail Switzerland. We decided last year that we guide on a gross profit level, exactly for the reason that still for the next coming years, we think that the top line, the ultimate net revenue line on a group level will remain quite volatile, driven by changes in the operating model, shifts from own store operations to franchise, but also secondly, because we expect actually that some of the categories in Switzerland continue to deteriorate. Obviously, we do our best to defend the business, and I think we've shown last year quite impressive developments on the tobacco side in Germany, where we took share from other retailers. Potentially, this can happen in Switzerland as well, although in the tobacco space, we operate at a significantly higher share of the overall market. So it's for us much more challenging to take share than for our colleagues in Germany. Secondly, then the print. Print will continue to deteriorate. That's our expectation. That's how we plan our business. Even though we see that print is performing much better in Germany than in Switzerland, because again, in Germany, other retailers reduce shelf allocation dramatically, so we take larger share, which helps ultimately our business. Plus, the unique positioning of the PMBs at the main stations, large railway stations, and the main airports also create quite a unique experience for customers who actually look for print products. So having said that, I think this core category, you will see continuous volatile development of the top line. One of the reasons in Switzerland last year for the negative sales development was actually the tobacco pricing impact we have seen. We have seen a lot of promotional activity, price promotion in the tobacco space. Given the large share of revenues of tobacco we have in Switzerland, this obviously always has a negative impact on the top line. So that's why we decided to guide on gross profit. And as you have seen, on the gross profit level, we actually hit our guidance pretty well, also in Switzerland. This was given the fact that we improved on the service business, so we had quite a strong service development. This includes, obviously, also the lottery element. And this will, going forward, will be very much fueled by the food initiatives. One of the big initiatives, coffee, we mentioned now several times, coffee, an initiative that contributed very and developed very successfully, specifically towards the end of last year, because with the introduction of the modules over the year, obviously full impact we have only see ultimately in December, where we had a very strong contribution, 24% plus compared to last. So that's what we expect in terms of how we deliver on the targets on a gross profit level, how this translates in onto net revenue developments and same store developments. I think it will be ultimately much more, require much more detail in terms of guidance on each category level. I hope this answers the question regarding Retail Switzerland. You want to take the question on Bob Finance?
Sure. Bob Finance, as Michael mentioned, we are, of course, EBIT negative this year. But as you can see, it's within the corporate figures. Corporate figures overall have been stable, so that is not a detriment overall to the company. But nevertheless, it's negative. However, it's been lifetime value positive for the full year. What does that mean? Being lifetime positive is simply that if we maintain that level of lending out for the coming period, we'll automatically generate a business which is EBIT positive. And already having achieved that for the first full year, is a big success. That is actually better than what we expected. This year, 2017, will still be negative. It takes time to build such a portfolio. And beyond that, we'll need to see exactly the pace of growth. But this year, Bob is still contributing negatively. However, we're convinced that with the value of the portfolio we're building, that is already supporting the valuation of our general company. On the CapEx side, I said we were shy of 50 million. We always said, you know, we'll be between 50 and 60 million over the cycle. This year, we really plan to have a catch-up effect, investing in line two in Oranienbaum, investing, starting to invest on the pretzel side, doing the expansion. So I hope to be above 60 million. I definitely plan to be below 70 million. And I said I hope to be above 60 million because depending on the rates of expansion, when you can do that, exactly when the machine are coming, you know, you could be a bit below or we could be a bit above that, but it will be somewhere in the range between 60 and 70 million for this year, and probably rather something a bit above 60 million. Then again, for the coming years, as Pretzel Baron and now as well the expansion Oranienbaum, we plan to maintain that level so that over the cycle, for now, we'll still be in the 50 to 60.
Maybe adding to the CapEx question, I think the most important internal discussion we have is obviously apart from budgeting and three-year planning on the CapEx side, is actually that we are very disciplined in the way we spend the money. And I think that's what leads to slightly bigger ranges in terms of what we give as a guidance, because ultimately we only spend the money where we have an expectation of meeting the targets that we set internally. And we do our best, obviously, to spend as much of that money as possible because this going forward will create value for the company and the shareholders.
Patrick Hasenberg, ZKB. First question, what are the net proceeds from the La Praille building sale? And second question, you reiterated the 4% EBIT margin targets to be achieved earliest in 2018. When do you think you will achieve it at the latest? And is the reason for the goodwill decline for Novil distribution sale, or is that another reason for the decline? And the fourth question is, could you give us an indication what we should expect concerning the profitability of U.S. pretzel business?
Okay. If you agree, I'll tackle, except for the last one.
Sure.
thank you, Patrick. La Praille, it's now public. It's the Régis Foncier, so it's 20 million. We cashed in. We have 20 million more in our books today. 4%, the latest figures. There's a good reason in every word we say. So we said earliest. That's because our internal plans and our internal plans align with external ones. We have ambitious plans. We hope to achieve that by 2018. And we challenge our people internally. However, you know, it is at such a level as well that we say, you know, it is not clear whether we'll achieve that already in 2018. That's the reason why we formulated this. Depending on the progress we make this year, I will be more specific next year. Again, for now, I think our internal plans, we hope that at the earliest in 2018, we manage to show 4%. The goodwill decline is fully Naville Distribution, plus FX that contributed slightly positively as well. So the Deutsche Brezelkönig converted in Swiss franc also contributed for a couple of millions in that decline. And finally, Pretzel and Baron.
In terms of Pressbyrån and Quite, obviously we have not given any guidance specifically on that business. It's a small business. It's the platform that we're going to invest. So overall, the U.S. Pressbyrån market is highly attractive. And what we are realizing already today in terms of pricing and overall terms and conditions for the products we sell there, you can assume we're making money. It's attractive to us. That's why we like it. That's why we continue to invest there. And we do this with the full logistic markup today because we have to ship the pretzels from Germany frozen to the U.S. So therefore, you can assume on a pretzel unit basis, it only improves the quality and the profitability of our business because logistic costs will be a far smaller part of the overall costs on a unit basis. Then on an overall development basis, quite obviously, we're going to invest in that business now. You heard from Tobias, the CapEx guidance, so substantial part of that we're going to allocate to the U.S., and quite obviously, I mean, you typically have to, you will have the highest profitability if you're at the upper end of the utilization of a factory. That's not the starting point whenever you build a factory, so this will develop nicely over time and improve, but it will have no significant impact on the overall profitability of the overall wholesale B2B business that we operate with each.
René Weber, Bank Vontobel. Just two questions. The first one, I think the best achievement you could show now in 2016 was the increase in the margin in Switzerland. You mentioned part of it was true to Navil, part of it was due to mix. Could you explain a little bit more in detail how much Navil contributed to that and how much, for example, the coffee modules brought into this margin improvement? The second question goes into the food service or the Pretzelkönig expansion. How much of startup cost did you have in 2016? How much do you expect in 2017? And currently you are in France and in Austria. Are these the two markets where you start, where you believe to start to come up with the franchising?
So maybe I start with retail Switzerland. So Navil basically contribute on two levels. The first level, quite obviously, on the cost side. So Navil, the acquisition and then the integration of Navil was the catalyst for the reorganization of our Swiss business. It also probably, mostly in 2015, was also a cost item attached to that restructuring, and I think we were quite transparent on that dimension. So this illustrated, I think, that it was quite a significant step that we took on the cost side through the integration. And the second dimension is that by operating now a Swiss-wide network, we improved our promotion capability. So we are an even stronger partner for our main partners, be it on the tobacco side, be it on the food side, be it on print and service side. And so this helped us to improve margin through better terms and conditions on the sourcing side and ultimately and most importantly on the promotion side. So this was a very important contribution Navil had to the business and probably the most important levers that we pulled. Then in terms of coffee and overall change in the mix, I mentioned earlier coffee was introduced throughout the year, so the biggest impact we had obviously towards the end of the year, so you will see much more of that next year, Along with the coffee, we introduced a lot of other new products on the food side. AVEC improved the food offering, specifically fresh food offering. We launched an awful new format also here in Switzerland and Siegelbrücke with the first store. This was all towards the end of the year, so you can assume that we will see further positive contribution next year.
Yep.
Do you want to take the next two or the next question? So.
On the food service side, the startup costs in 16 and 17, it's mostly the organization, the POS. We said, you know, we have the proof of concept. I think, you know, that's the time it took to establish a basis where we can start to talk with franchisees, larger franchisees. So what you're really seeing is the startup cost, the organization that we build on the supply chain with the franchise expertise. And as you can expect, that is a dozen persons, you know, with the cost associated with that. So that is roughly what you can count. And as it's a fixed organization, these costs will be fixed both in 16 and in 17. So the change of that will be the success, hopefully, from the franchise side. Nevertheless, you know, we talk about options. You know, we have a business where we're showing stable development going up, stable in Switzerland with improving margin, growing on the same store in Germany, growing with the traditional businesses on the food service side. And then we have a number of free options, we call them. That's BOP, that's the franchise side, that's Brezel Koenig side. These are all initiatives where we strongly believe in, where we invest in the future, but where you can't say exactly what will come out of that. But it's really a free option as much as I just explained on the Brezel Koenig side. Today, there's a cost and there's not yet the revenue. So in the worst case, and that is valid for all three of them and the other ones we have as well, in the worst case, we can cut the cost that will still improve. But our goal as well, of course, is as we invest, is that we grow the businesses and that some of these free options realized and positively for the entire group.
And maybe to the second part of this question, we do not limit or restrict the discussion with franchise partners to Austrian and the French market. We go well beyond that. We have actually a lot of cold calls coming in asking for the concept or introducing the concepts in basically markets around the globe. But we decided we will not establish a what we call landmarking strategy, so only to have a slide on the wall next year showing that we're active in 20 countries with one or two POS in each country. That's not the strategy we follow. We rather try to find or get to a critical mass country by country. So quite obviously we will or we end discussions in Austria and in France, but there are the markets on the table as well. Next question, more questions? Yes, please.
Yes, hi, Felix Rams from Credit Suisse. Three questions, if I may. On the margin in food services, you mentioned higher variable costs and that in operating expenses. I did not fully understand that. Can you elaborate a bit more on what that drove? On the refinancing side, you said that you would be able to refinance the hybrid and the straight bond with cash and credit lines. Is that the base case scenario for you right now? And if yes, how low would financial expenses go from 2019 on? And maybe the last one is on the 25 million of CapEx you have invested this year on innovation and expansion. Can you split that down a bit more on what is the main driver behind that? Because I think it's quite significant.
On the food service margin, we said variable because there are really two drivers. One is the output, so production cost, where we on one side have higher output, which contributed to higher costs. And on the other hand, we as well prepared with so we changed to products with a higher margin, which partially also have higher labor costs associated, and we prepared for the expansion, which as well generated some work. The first two, not the latter one, but the first two are really variable costs. Same thing on the POS, which is actually a very important contributor. On the food service side, the POS that we have in either own stores or agencies, the agencies with the agent fee that we're paying is, of course, a variable cost. The more POS you have, the higher your cost will be as well. However, with the profit coming out. And that is really a big driver that we're having here with the expansion in POS. And the third one, which I mentioned, is higher factor cost. So we have seen in 2016 a reflection of various factors of this year or 16 and the previous year, not least the minimum wage increase in Germany that forced us, first of all, to increase, of course, the level we're paying for our employees. And indirect effect is as well that we adjusted partially the agency fees in order to make sure that our agent, which are the basis for our success, have a decent income. So all that together contributed to what I call the variable cost-driven increase. On the refinancing, no, our base case is that we will repay the hybrid with cash, potentially a small part in being repaid or refinanced with a classical debt instrument as well as the straight bond. So we don't know exactly when and which instrument we'll take, but we'll plan to refinance that not with a Sund loan, which is even though we have all the lenders bank, or many of the lenders bank in here, still an expensive instrument, so the cheaper instrument which we're planning to use. That is simply the fallback. What I wanted to explain is that even in the most adverse situation, there's no refinancing risk coming up to us. And it would be too early to give a guidance, but I think one important element of this year that I highlighted is that we had in 15, we had the FX impact on the financing. We had the IRS, the interest rate swap that was redeemed last year. These should hopefully fall away. That will bring down the financing by a couple of million. And then, of course, the terms of any refinancing is still attractive. So that if you combine that, you should get noticeably lower on the financing side by 2018 and definitely 2019 as well, but already this year in 17. And lastly, the 25 million CapEx innovation and expansion, so it's all with both. It is all the initiatives we mentioned, it's new POS, so greenfield expansion is part of that, line 2 expansion in Oranienbaum in Germany, our factory, is a second large contributor. So it's really our greenfield, not the maintenance, not replacements or renewals, but it's a greenfield and it's the factory. And a third investment is our digital initiatives, which as a block as well would come in as the position.
Thank you.
Marco Schleitmann, TechCrunch. Regarding the number of shops in Switzerland, do you plan to further close some shops, or are you happy with the network as it stands now? Then retail Germany, I'm not quite sure here, but I thought the same store index in the first half of 15 was quite a lot higher than for the whole year, so that I would conclude the second half was down somewhat. So what is the reason behind that? Third, could you guide us to a tax rate for the current year? We had 2 years of positive tax influence. Can we assume that this will continue? And maybe could you also shed some light on the super jackpot Lotto special influence in the second half, maybe? Thanks.
So maybe I start on the POS. I mean, we are very pleased with the network we have in Switzerland, obviously. I think given the number that we realized this year, you will always see adjustment to the network. It will be, in terms of net store closures, less substantial what we expect this year, so in 2070s and in the year ahead, but it will always be a combination of forced closures where either a rental agreement is not renewed or where ultimately the whole setup changed. So if there's a refurbishment in a railway station, typically, I mean, we don't want to end up in a dark corner, but we have to open a new store. So you will always see that we will work with that network, but importantly, we do not improve margin going forward by closing stores, but we rather put our focus or emphasis on defending what we have in Switzerland and improving the existing store network.
For Germany, well spotted, absolutely. H2 has been weaker in terms of same-store development. It's still positive, though, if you add up the math, and that is important. It can be attributed to some special factors. And I think it shows a bit of where we came from as well in Germany, you know, from not expecting anything and, you know, living in there, not having the analytic, et cetera, we were expecting to have that decline. What are the reasons? The reason is that you've seen the GP split. You see how dependent we are on the book side. There are two reasons on the book side which are relevant. One is... stupid, but it's the launch of Asterix on the previous year. The Asterix comes every second year. That adds over 1 percentage point on the same store in Germany. So that's really a run, and you can see that effect roughly over 3 months. So the launch date last year, we've seen the drop this year. And the second one was with the immigrant crisis, with the political development, the stress on Merkel. We've seen the political press in 2015 being at an all-time high, which was not, you know, you get used to bad news. So there was enough with Trump and other aspects that could have incented the people to read. But we have not seen such a political press development again. The core categories we invest in, like especially the food side, has still been growing, not double digit in the second half, but with a high single digit, which, as you've seen, still added to the profitability. My favorite one, the tax rate. No, you cannot expect to have tax income for all coming years. The two reasons for that. One is we have activated. So first of all, let me make a step back. Where do the tax income come from? First of all, you've got the current income taxes, which has been a bit lower this year for various reasons, but is still there. And the other one, which has been positive, are the deferred income taxes. We had last year, so 2015 and 16, we activated more losses, which come from a improved view on our businesses, especially in Germany, but as well in Switzerland. All that you activate needs to be written off over time. So all that we start activated will come as a compensating factor. And of course, we activated as little as possible because it comes back to haunt you, which is, you know, still on the fair level. But you would need to see, even if we would see an increase, we used a lot of the tax losses we're having at that stage in the market. We still have, if you read our annual report, many losses carried forward which are not yet activated. But they're coming from countries where, at this stage, we're not expecting them to be able to be activated. We see how that evolves. we're also not making a detailed planning on the tax side. It's pretty complex. In my eyes, it adds very little value. I know that EPS is important. We are focusing on EPS, but we're not doing a detailed tax plan. So we'll see exactly where we come out, but I'm not personally planning with having tax income for the coming years. Finally, the jackpot. The Swiss jackpot has been very positive. That is correct. And that has been the press and all of you that are customers of ours have seen the queues in some of our POS. That's positive if people are coming. If they're queuing, it's less positive because lottery is a good business, but it's less added value than if you buy a coffee. One point. The other point is that the Euro Million was maybe less in the focus of people, but actually in 2015 we had much higher Euro Million, which is a big driver of frequency and profitability as well on our side. So yes, we have seen a positive net effect from the Swiss laws, the Lotto jackpot in Switzerland, but that with the two factors I mentioned is still seven digits, but on a very low level.
Thomas Budi, VVAG. I have two questions, one to Rachel Baron. Can you elaborate a little bit more the integration of Bretzel Baron? Will it be self on its own, or will it be under the helmet of Dietsch or Annenbaum? And second question would be, as you say, that you want to introduce SAP in all group functions, what are the costs associated with that?
So maybe for Bretzel Baron, in terms of organizational integration, Gary is running the business, so the founder, Gary Gartenbusch, or continues to run the business. We hired now a new CFO who will help Gary to understand all the corporate language we speak and to integrate in our reporting systems. And ultimately, Gary is reporting to Thomas Eisele in the Dietsch organization. Most importantly, from an operational point of view, the integration will be on a production level. So our production experts, teams in Oranienbaum and Mainz work already very closely with Gary to plan for the years ahead what kind of pieces of technology we have to add to the line, what do we have to plan in the plant, and also already there, we are quite well advanced because obviously this was a very important part of the due diligence we made to see whether, first of all, Bretzel Baron is capable of running our technology, and secondly, whether there is enough space in the building that we acquired through that acquisition.
On the SAP side, that is a multi-year effort. We were running SAP already in Switzerland. We are in the process, and most of that already started last year, in upgrading the Swiss platform. We're expanding that to Luxembourg this year. We'll expand it then to Germany, hopefully the year thereafter, adding then probably then the smaller organizations as well. And as such, you see, it's not a peak. So it's something that is already reflected in our figures of last year. It's reflected as well in the guidance of this year. CapEx as well is part of that, but is not the main driver as well, not the project expenses. The biggest stress is really on the organization, and on top of all the initiatives that we're having, we've been reducing on various side, and on top you add a project like SAP implementation. And it's not only, it's also a cultural project. That's why it's important that it's linked with the culture on the, if you look at the initiative slides. We do not implement silos. Our goal is really to create the platform. That means that we want to roll out a model to the other countries, adapt that model that we're having, so taking Switzerland as blueprint, rolling it out, but that also needs then we need to make some adjustment on the Swiss model. And with that, we're really encouraging and forcing the discussions and the integration within the group, and that leads to many questions which take much more effort and discussion actually than the pure IT side of the project, but is as important as the IT side.
Well, any further questions here in the room? Do we have questions on the conference call? No? Thank you. Yes, please.
Heike Halsinger, Credit Suisse. Just a couple of questions on the competitive landscape. You mentioned that in convenience you are the market leader. And was that by POS or volumes? And which numbers are they based on? Do you use GfK or Nielsen? I suppose not, but that would be retail. But and who do you consider your major competitors?
I assume, I mean, first of all, we said that we're a market leader in Switzerland and Germany. In Switzerland, I think our major competitors, obviously, are Migros and Coop, with the convenience formats. We are the number three. If you limit it to the competition between Coop Pronto, Migolino, and Abec, but obviously the convenience space, and there it always depends how you define convenience, is a much broader market. I mean, you could consider whether Pretzelkönig is actually also part of convenience. We define it as food services. But I think one of the very good and strong indicators for answering the question in terms of market share is actually the share we have as a tenant with the major landlords, specifically with the SBB, the Swiss Federal Railway Network, and there we take a much higher share than the others. This is also explained by the fact that Migolino Coop Pronto operate a quite strong network at gas station. We do the same thing, but at lower level, and ultimate. The overall store count and revenue is significantly higher in at least the way we define convenience as a space. And what we see also, the landlords more and more define it because it's a very blurred line between the different concepts. What we operate, for example, in Germany now as an AWEC in Gelsenkirchen, the first new AWEC that we opened, customer feedback was in the first days, that's a very nice, healthy or health food shop or bakery. So they have not at all perceived that AWEC as a convenience store, but rather as a new food service format. And I think that tells you the lines are blurring. To answer the question on the German side, where we also perceive ourselves as the market leader, same thing applies. If you combine Ditch and the convenience activities, we take the biggest share with Deutsche Bahn again, which is a very good indicator. Even if you look individually at Ditch, just recently we saw an analysis by a third party where you see that we are also there actually operating the most successful in terms of store count revenue network only on the food service side. So that's what we base on our statement on in terms of market leader in the two markets in convenience. I hope this answers your question. And in terms of GfK or Nielsen data, there is no specific data that cuts the market precisely into these high-frequency locations. Any other questions? Again, on the phone, no question. Thank you.
Good.
So with that, thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for all the good questions, for your patience with the presentation. Thank you very much for the support in the last months, but also years behind us. And with that, I invite you to coffee, pretzels, obviously, and other refreshments here. And I wish you a successful day and week, and hope to see you soon again, the latest at our half-year results in July. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.